there's all sorts of interesting questions that can spin out as science becomes less scary for some Christians to think about, because I don't have to worry that science is going to disprove my faith or undermine my relationship with God. Science becomes a place of being amazed and wondering, how did God make the world and look at the amazing things that he's done?
I find that skeptics ask the best questions, the ones that get all of us to think the most deeply about what it is that we're engaged with.
It's probably not even answering the questions a lot of times. It's engaging the questions that's the biggest thing. To say that Jesus Christ is able to take on those questions to create a community in which they can be sorted out.
This is Language of God. I'm Jim Stump, and we've got another bonus episode for you today. Last March, BioLogos hosted a conference in Baltimore called Beyond Conflict, and one of the sessions there was a panel discussion with some of the folks from a project called STEAM, which is an acronym that stands for Science and Theology for Emerging Adult Ministry. STEAM funded many teams of smaller ministry projects. Kate and Len were two of those project leaders, and in our conversation, they share some of what they've learned from working with young adults on science and faith. I moderated the conversation along with the leader of the overall STEAM project, Greg Kutsona. We think it gives an interesting glimpse beyond the theoretical into the very practical realm where science and faith are used as ministry tools. If you're interested in further resources for this sort of thing, you can find a campus ministry resource center on our website, biologos.org, under the Resources tab. Here's our conversation.
You know that BioLogos is not the only organization in the country that is involved in science and religion, and there's an exciting project based out at Fuller called STEAM, Science and Theology for Emerging Adult Ministry. Did I get that right, Greg?
Absolutely perfect, yeah.
This is Greg Kutsona, and he was one of the project leaders on that. We're happy to have him here, and he's going to introduce a couple of other people that have been involved in that project. But first, tell us a little bit about what was the project, what were the goals, and what's been accomplished in all of that.
Yes, STEAM was a three-year project, to fund Christian ministries that work with emerging adults throughout the United States and one in Canada. We did 28 total sites. And the idea was to see, how do you bring faith and science to energize these Christian ministries? Just one personal note. For me, it was such a part of my own personal history. When I came to the University of California, Berkeley, I did not really know about the Christian faith very extensively. I wandered around Sproul Plaza, wondering what all these options were and what would be available to me. And it was Christians who could engage with culture, who engaged with science as it affected culture, authors like C.S. Lewis, that allowed me to say yes to Jesus my first year of Berkeley. Mm. So don't grow up in the church, go to Berkeley, become a Christian. It's a weird combination. And I'm hoping that more people will have that kind of experience, right? Of seeing how Christian faith can be connected to the world they're a part of as a college student, a post-college student.
You had a lot of different teams that were working with you as part of this, and give us a little bit of a sense of the range of different projects that were involved. How many total projects?
28 total, yeah.
With how many people involved in the leadership of those?
So each one of the projects had at least two people, one who was a science specialist and one who was a specialist in Christian ministry, so certainly at least 56, but you can imagine we always had a team around them of students and so on, so you know, literally hundreds of people who were in leadership, and then thousands of people affected through the direct work of these projects, as well as the resources that we've put together on our STEAM website and other places.
Good. Yeah. And so we're here now at the end of the three-year period. Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
And so we're able to hear a few of the results here in person from some of the people engaged in this, right?
Right. And these are the two of the most exciting projects. I mean, there's a lot of them that were amazing, but these are two that I thought would really people should hear from.
Well, let's hear a little bit about them. Kate, thanks for being here too. Tell us about your project. What exactly were you involved in?
So our project, my husband and I wrote a book called Jesus Beginnings in Science, which is a 12-week Bible study looking at this conversation between science and faith, trying to help Christians have better conversations from a variety of scientific perspectives, not particularly saying this is just a conversation for young earth creationists or evolutionary creationists. So we're trying to have that kind of conversation so that there would be more basically gracious places where Christians could figure out what they believed about science, and people who weren't Christians could get over the false barrier between thinking that you either have to choose science or faith. And so we took our book and made it into some trainings that we took to various parts of the country, working with my InterVarsity Christian Fellowship connection to try to equip more students and InterVarsity staff to be able to lead these conversations in their contexts. And so I work at the Claremont Colleges, which are five top colleges, including Harvey Mudd, which is a science and engineering school. And we
in Los Angeles.
In the Los Angeles area. And so we were able to start Bible studies on campus, Bible studies at our church, and to do trainings in Vermont, California, and admissions conference to try to equip people to have gracious conversations where a variety of Christian perspectives could come together with Jesus at the middle to be able to work out what are we thinking in having while having Jesus still at the center, grounded in Scripture.
And the missions conference was the Urbana conference, right?
Right.
Yeah. That little conference out in the middle
right.
of... So how did it go? Usually projects like this have to be projecting various outcomes that they're looking for. How did your project turn out?
Well, it was very exciting to be able to take the materials to a variety of places. So one of the places was at the Urbana Missions Conference, and so there were about 300 people in a room listening to how to have a conversation that can engage people from a variety of perspectives. But how that goes, we'll have to see, because that was just December. And the hope is that we gave them copies of the book so that they could go and start these conversations in their churches, on their campuses. But I do know that these conversations do lead to great things like one of my husband's students, Ellen. So she was a non-Christian who was taking one of his chemistry classes, heard that he was a Christian because she read a post on the BioLogos website that he had written.
Right.
And so she comes into his office and says, I'd really like to talk to you about faith, because she thought you either are a Christian or you are a scientist. And here's Dave, who is a Christian in the sciences. And so in talking with Dave and then in talking with students in InterVarsity we had been talking about science and faith in our community, she was able to navigate these questions of faith and then become a Christian. And so I'm hoping and praying that there are going to be more people like Ellen that we are able to engage because we are having in the Christian community this conversation in a gracious way, which then equips us to be able to talk with people outside the Christian community.
We'll come back and talk a little more specifics and some of the perhaps other anecdotes that happened, but let's bring Len into the conversation. Tell us about your project.
Sure. We had the opportunity to get funding for the Science and Faith Forums on the Caltech campus, actually in a lecture hall on campus. Caltech is a STEM-only university, very small, 1,000 undergraduates, 1,000 graduate students, extremely selective, highest average SAT score in the country for undergraduates.
Wow.
Lots of research labs for graduate students, dozens and dozens of Nobel laureates. In fact, we're having a Nobel laureate come and speak in 2 weeks at our next forum. So it's a wonderful place. It's its own subculture, really, mm-hmm. because it's so kind of empirically based in the way that people think. And so these forums were an opportunity to bring engaging speakers around topics of science and faith, and we called our project SAFE, Science and Faith Examined. We were trying to create these safe spaces for people to gather, and we actually patterned the format off of the Alpha Course, which some of you may be familiar with, that also creates a safe space. So we have dinner, then a speaker, and then facilitated discussion groups around tables. And that format worked amazingly well because Caltech is a very hostile place towards faith. There's not a single faculty person who openly self-identifies as a Christian on the entire campus.
Of how many faculty members are we talking here?
A couple hundred. So there are no faculty advisors for the three campus fellowships that we partner with. They're all staff people as a result. So it's a challenging place, and these forums gave an opportunity for students across the spiritual spectrum. I mean, we have hardcore materialists, agnostics, and then Christians who would attend each of these, and they were well attended.
How do you even go about advertising for something like that to get people interested enough to come out to a special event?
Yeah, well, free food helps.
Right.
Yeah, so we typically do a Friday night. We would amazingly, old school flyers were one of the best ways that Caltech is a small campus. People walk around all the time. They see the flyers. They come. And then over time, we've built up a mailing list and a Facebook group and so forth. But there was an amazing response right out of the gate. Our first speaker spoke on artificial intelligence and the implications. Mm-hmm. We had 110 people. I mean, we were like buying additional pizzas that night. So it was really well received. And we've done this. Actually, the grant was meant to be for 1 year. But now this fall, we're on our third year just because the response has been been so good.
Nice.
So it's been an amazing.
Could each of you give us a little bit of the flavor of the kinds of questions and topics that students in these different environments were particularly interested in? What seems to rise to the surface when you start to engage students in science and faith topics?
Well, as I just mentioned, the first forum that we did 2.5 years ago on artificial intelligence, there's a computer science is actually the most popular undergraduate major at Caltech now. It didn't used to be that way, but it is now. So that was really well received. We had Bill Newsom come from Stanford to talk about neuroscience. That was really well received. We've had philosophers come. I mean, what's interesting, you know, those of us in this dialogue know that this conversation easily connects and with philosophy. One of our philosophers that we brought in is here in the audience today, Myron Penner. And we had Ian Hutchinson come from MIT and to talk about, can scientists believe in miracles? So it's just been a wide range. And people have responded. It's all been very gracious dialogue. People, again, across the spiritual spectrum. Again, very hardcore, strict materialists who don't believe anything else exists in the universe beyond what we can sense physically, and yet several have said there's not another place that we know of where we can have conversations like this. So that's been really great. And then one exciting thing is 2 weeks from today, David Baltimore, the past president of Caltech, Nobel laureate, is going to be speaking on the ethics of gene editing, which we talked about here, and so that's super relevant right now as well.
Good. Kate? Topics that are of particular interest to your crowd?
Well, because these are like a 12-week Bible study series focusing in on Jesus' beginnings in science, one of the big questions that Christians are usually wrestling with is how do I understand the science of evolution, especially as it relates to Genesis 1 and 2, which is why in the Bible study series that we have, we start with Jesus in Colossians 1 and John 1, because the center is not the controversy. The center is Jesus. And then given Jesus, given Father, Son, Holy Spirit are the creator, you know, is the creator, how then do we understand how God created? And so trying to recenter Jesus is always important in these questions. But the students ask, you know, how do I understand the science around evolution? And what does this mean for understanding the veracity of the Bible? Like, how do I understand genre? How do I interpret scripture? What does this mean about Jesus and the resurrection? So theological questions that are really important. And what we get down to is just a better understanding of how do I read scripture and how do I interact with that as a Christian? But we're doing it through this particular issue of looking at science and faith. And so from there, there's all sorts of interesting questions that can spin out as science becomes less scary for some Christians to think about, because I don't have to worry that science is going to disprove my faith or undermine my relationship with God. Science becomes a place of being amazed and wondering, how did God make the world and look at the amazing things that he's done?
And I would say listing out of those 28 projects, some of the questions that were really important. I think this one of Christian mission, you know, can I be a scientist and see this as a mission, you know, as a part of what I am called to do, but from the sending, the missio of Christ? And I think that was one of the things that the projects continued to engage in, which was really exciting. Mm-hmm. Of course, evolution is always important. Interpretation of the Bible, as Kate was saying. And then I think also with what I think Len said a little bit earlier, the emerging technologies, transhumanism, AI, those things are very intuitive to these digital natives. So they feel that in a way that's very exciting. They feel like they can. It's the highest thing you can do with academic engagement in California is you can share. So people can share. You know what I mean? And I think there's a sense in which that's also a set of topics around the whole emerging technologies with transhumanism and AI that are becoming.
They've all
important.
Been watching Black Mirror.
Black Mirror, Netflix, exactly. Right? Yeah, and Ex Machina and whatever else. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Each of you, all of you again, share a little bit, maybe some things that surprised you over the course of your projects, maybe things that you went into this intending to think this is going to be the great way to do this that didn't work out so well, or maybe on the other side, things that we weren't expecting this to go quite as well as it did. I think those are things that may be transferable to other kinds of contexts, and people would appreciate hearing both successes, and I don't want to call them failures, but we'll say challenges or learning points at some level.
Well, I think part of the project that we also had was we worked with Diane Sweeney, adapting the Author of Life videos. These are videos.
Which are fabulous, yeah.
Yes. Which
was a BioLogos project back in the day.
So these are great videos that help people engage with questions of evolution and faith. And they're grounded in scripture, beautifully done. And they're also free online at theauthoroffaith.org. And so as part of that, we went around interviewing people on campus to get their perspective of how faith and science went together. And it was just fascinating to talk to a lot of students on my campus who are ready to talk to a stranger as long as you hold a mic in front of them and a camera, right? So hearing their perspectives, some of them, you know, a number of them who no longer called themselves Christians but had come from a Christian background, and one of the reasons that they had left faith was because of this perceived conflict between science and faith, and just science looked more reliable. So that wasn't a surprise, but it's always just heartbreaking to hear that, given that it is so much of an artificial conflict. But even with that, one of the things that did surprise me was my students, by and large, don't bring up the conflict of science and faith as a big thing on their mind. What they bring up is what's happening in politics, what's happening in the news. Those are all of the top-level conversations. But once we provided an opportunity for students to talk about science and faith, a lot of them responded. Because right under the surface are these underlying questions of science and faith, because they get to the question of, is the Bible reliable? Is this just an old-fashioned idea, or is there something true now? So a surprising thing to some degree that was delightful to see.
Good.
I would add that one of the things that was a success factor was the leaders and the leadership teams that had a sense of missional thinking. So, you know, Len's church is called Missio Church. And frankly, I was a little surprised how well the project went. I mean, I've known Len for actually decades, and I had a lot of confidence in him. But it was really great to see how well your missional thinking and the way you looked at this as, are you speaking a language that's going to make sense to those that you're speaking to? And I think that's a critical factor to learn the language of the people that you're connecting with, like any missionary would do. And I think, you know, Dave and Kate know that because they're in it all the time. You know, Dave on the faculty side and the advising side for student groups, and Kate as a person who's doing campus work.
Yeah, just to piggyback on that, we did take kind of a missionary posture towards the campus to understand, and we really are finding and continue to find that Caltech is such a distinctive subculture. You know, a school with no humanities, you know, that kind of balances people out. It's such a kind of cognitive, empirical mindset. And sort of how do we sort of break into that culture, in a sense, and have credibility, and then for that to be an avenue for the gospel? And I think one of the surprises has been how receptive many of the atheists have been. A couple of the atheists that came to each of our events kind of became friends, and me and one of the other project leaders, we started a discussion group, and these two people, who I'll call James and John, were just really interested and engaged, and we read a couple books together. We read Tim Keller's Making Sense of God. We tried to introduce the Gospel of Mark. They didn't seem interested in that. But I find that skeptics ask the best questions, the ones that get all of us to think the most deeply about what it is that we're engaged with. And in fact, one of them was so committed to the project that we actually invited him onto our planning team. So he would come and be part of the selection of speakers and the, you know, designing the format of the evening. And he actually did sort of the talk back. Over time, we found it was important to actually invite unbelievers to either respond to the speaker up front, or even to give the talk, that we're kind of making space for those conversations without that feeling like it threatens our own faith. So for us to kind of work in that context has meant sort of stretching some of our own boundaries in order to kind of meet them where they are. And they, like I said, they have really responded really well. In fact, one of the people that came was a Caltech faculty who spoke along with a Christian faculty from another institution. And afterwards he said, you know, I don't believe what you believe, but I love what you're doing, and I want to give my honorarium check back to you because I believe in what you're doing.
Wow.
And so he's become kind of a person of peace. In fact, I just saw him on campus last week.
Mm-hmm. Tips or advice to people that want to do other kinds of similar projects with emerging adults? ways to effectively reach them, things that you've learned over the course of your own projects that, that might be replicable in other contexts?
Well, I think the place always to begin is with prayer, because we are engaged in mission, and following God where He's empowering us by His Spirit is always just the great place to start. That I'm motivated by faith and not out of fear or pride or any of the other things. So I think myself praying and then having a group of people who is praying with me is the place to begin. And then from that, I think the kind of dialogue that we're talking about here, places where you're, like in Lens Project, you're opening up space for people to be able to consider things that doesn't have this debating edge. That is really important, especially with this generation, that there are these gracious conversations where there can be real disagreement, but deep respect shown, which is going to be, it will catch people's attention as we are the ones who are helping to model that and facilitate that. And I do think, for me, I'm not a trained scientist, I'm a college pastor, and I'm able to facilitate these kind of conversations, not because of my deep expertise in science, but because of my love for Jesus and my respect for science. So I would say for people who want to see this happen but aren't scientifically trained, I would say find good resources, which there are an abundance out there. So there are things like our 12-week Bible study, the Jesus Beginnings in Science book. There's the BioLogos website, there's American Scientific Affiliation, there's all sorts of websites and blogs and such that can equip us to be able to have these conversations and not be anxious that we don't know enough.
I think that just having a collaborative spirit is really helpful. When we came on campus, we just partnered with the existing campus fellowships, so just building trust and relationship over time. There was a sense in which we were all in this together, and different students are emceeing these forums. And so that was really crucial to getting this thing off the ground, just the partnerships and the friendships that have emerged. And along the way, just an aside, a lot of those students now have made their way into the church that I lead. And we do actually do Q&A after each sermon. And so the sense of being inquisitive and welcoming questions has sort of has shaped us along the way as well. I think also just taking a listening posture again, hearing where people are before presuming that we have the answers, seeking ownership as much as possible, really looking for the persons of peace, that when Jesus sends out the disciples in Luke 10, he's looking for that person of peace who's gonna be a gateway person. So I think in a sort of some difficult secular context, looking for people both who are unbelievers or believers who become that gateway person that opens up a new avenue of relationships and partnership on campus. That's been significant as well.
Some of what I hear you saying in this regard rings true with what else we're told about emerging adults and their ability to sniff out the inauthentic among us, right? That there has to be some genuine care and connection with them beyond, I've brought a pre-programmed set of answers to questions that I'm not even sure if you're asking, but these are the answers that my generation needed to give. And it sounds to me like the first step in getting beyond that is this open listening, hear what those questions are. Has that been your experience in working with students like this?
I would say that's a great summary of things, Jim. I think it's probably not even answering the questions a lot of times. It's engaging the questions that's the biggest thing. To say that Jesus Christ is able to take on those questions to create a community in which they can be sorted out. And well, we provided some answers, but it's that place of exploration which really connects with emerging adults. And I think they've been marketed so much in life that they, like you said, they can sniff out things that are inauthentic. So what we bring, I think, as Christian ministers, as people who are Christian leaders, is an ability to have something that's a real engagement on these topics. I think the biggest takeaway is what Kate was saying about mission. The idea of mission is not just that we are a mission, but that God is always a mission in front of us. And so that sending, that's what missio means, right? And so when we look at this work, we're really just entering into a thing that the kingdom of God is already about. And the kingdom of God is about exploring the fullness of life, which includes science and all of human life. So it's having confidence that God is with you in this and that God is part of that sending, and that we can let down our defenses, we can let down our own pride, and just humbly let the Holy Spirit lead us into this work. I think that really is a key factor in the deepest meaning of success, meaning achieving what God wants in our lives.
Thanks so much for talking this afternoon.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of Language of God. We're hard at work on season 2 this summer and can't wait to bring you great conversations with some exciting guests, including Pastor John Ortberg, host of the On Being show Krista Tippett, and many others. Subscribe to Language of God where you find podcasts to get new episodes as soon as they are released. We've also got 12 episodes in season 1 that are available now on our website or iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Language of God is produced by BioLogos. It has been funded in part by the John Templeton Foundation and more than 300 individuals who donated to our crowdfunding campaign. Language of God is produced and mixed by Colin Hugerwerf, with additional production assistance by TruthWorks Media. Our theme song is by Breakmaster Cylinder. Thanks for listening.